1, 2, testing, 1, 2. Okay, here we go. I am interviewing Mr. Booker Reeves, who lives at 104 Buckingham Road.
All right. You want to sign in? Go ahead and sign it now. We get that out of the way.
Oh, it'll pick up, man.
Come down there?
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Reeves, we know a little about you, man. Just kind of give me some credentials. We know you were the principal of Jefferson High School back then, and we know that you had a lot of influence in the city that you've been really interested in. And basically what I want to know is just the conversation that we just previously had, just to get that on tape. So you were the principal, and you, after a while, you said you were the principal of the elementary system. And
well, I was first on the native of Charlottesville.
Right.
Went all the way through the elementary and high school here myself.
Right.
And then went on to college at Hampton Institute, Howard University, and finally the University of Virginia. I came back to Charlottesville to become a teacher at Jefferson High School in 1939.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked as a teacher from 1939 to 1947. In 1947, I became the assistant principal of Jefferson High and elementary schools.
Okay, what were you teaching?
I was teaching American government.
American government.
And world history.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when I became assistant principal, I only taught government.
Mm-hmm.
American government.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's see. Let me get to the education part of the UW. So integration had not begun when you became principal, right?
No, integration. The first integration in Charlottesville, as far as schools are concerned, was at the University of Virginia.
Oh,
and that was a result of a court order by the NAACP, and one Gregory Sampson was admitted to the law school in 1951 or 52. And in 52, in the same year he was admitted to the law school, I was admitted to the graduate school at the university as a result of a number of conferences with Mr. Dodd
right.
And other people around town.
Mm-hmm.
And then I graduated in 55 from the graduate school.
Okay, that's good. That's pretty good. All right, so you entered the high schools, right? And let's see, 1964 is when they really started to get into the segregation of the high school.
Let's say this first. Burley High School was built and opened in 1951.
Uh-huh.
And the year Burley was opened, then Jefferson School became a citywide elementary school for all black students. And from 51 through 62 or 3 or 64, Jefferson's enrollment rose from approximately 500 to 1,025 in that span of time. That's sort of a World War II baby boom and Korean War baby boom. And when Charlottesville's NAACP applied for, went from federal courts to get the schools integrated here, Charlottesville's case was one of five that was handed down by the Supreme Court in 1954, along with Clarendon, South Carolina, the Prince Edward cases you've heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlottesville schools were required to integrate. But then after that final was made, it wasn't until 1960 59, the integration actually came about from 52 to 59 because the local school system, in a court, in order to prevent the integration, and then the state of Virginia, as you recall, set up what was known as the master resistance system. And actually, what that meant was that any school integrated on the federal court order, those schools would be closed. Two schools in Charlottesville closed for half a year or longer. Denver School was closed, and Lane High School was closed. Those kids went to school in the in various churches and places like that, and that gave birth to all the private schools around, like Rock Hill, for instance. And black children who had been assigned to Lane, and there were about 9 or 10 of them, and assigned to Lane and Venable, went to school in the school board office, which was set up behind Venable School on 14th Street.
Yeah, Mr. Scott was coming on 14th.
That's right.
Yeah. Going to classes. They were going to the regular class.
That's right.
Anyway.
And the ones who were seniors got diplomas from the city of Charlottesville, like they get from Charlottesville High now, rather than from Lane High School. Because Lane High School, the board at that time didn't see fit to offer them a diploma from Lane High School. So, although it was somewhat irregular at that time, it's a valid diploma now.
Okay, so you became the principal of Jefferson. Was the white students who went there show any kind of like hostility towards you because of your position?
Well, now, Jefferson did not get any integration until 60. Because Jefferson, as I told you, the students were parents through the NAACP and the Council of Human Relations. Those parents, 900 of them, requested transfers to white schools. As a result of that, Jefferson was closed. And that same year, McGuffey was integrated, and I became the principal of McGuffey School.
Okay.
And I stayed at McGuffey School 1 year as principal. And then McGuffey became a special education school, and I moved into the central office as assistant superintendent.
Okay. All right. Okay. For the students who went there, generally, generally speaking, when they got out, did most of them want to further their education, or did most of them just go into the work field?
Out of which school?
The high school.
Jefferson High. Well, going back to Jefferson High, the students there, a goodly number went to college. Matter of fact, even back in the years of 49, 50, 51, 52, more than half of Jefferson's graduates went on to college. Mm-hmm. They went to places like Virginia State, Hampton, and Connecticut. Some of them to North Carolina schools. Okay. Segregated, of course. Mm-hmm. But they went.
Did the schools go all the way to 12th grade?
No. Jefferson High School was 11 years. Was a four-year high school. And Burley was the first five-year high school for black people in Canada. And of course, Lane High School became a five-year high school in 1941 and 2, a white school.
Okay. So Lane was the white
high school. Right.
Okay. Let's see. Vinegar here. Did you have any relatives or anybody that lived in Vinegar here?
I didn't have any relatives who lived there, but I knew everybody that lived on Vinegar Hill because, you see, the people who lived in that section, which is called Vinegar Hill, and when we say Vinegar Hill, we're not just talking about the main street of Vinegar Hill, but we're talking about the whole section from Preston Avenue as it used to run. It comes down by Bibbs Market and Jerry. It went on around and then on up Preston Avenue and on up to 4th Street, that section of 4th Street, that whole section that was torn up for redevelopment in 60 and 61 and 62. Well, that supplied the greatest number of students for Jefferson School and Jefferson High School. because at that time, black people were not living all over town like they do now.
Right. So it was just that
second Suzanne and on up to 10 and a half, and
so
then just keep the Ridge Street.
Do you remember any other black neighborhoods? Like, we heard something about a neighborhood called Star Hill and Kaiser Road.
Talking about Star Hill, they were talking about that section of a town that is 6th Street Northwest, mm-hmm. Brown Street, Greenway Hill, and 7th Street, North 7th Street, mm-hmm. that goes across in front of First Baptist Church and back through there.
Oh, okay.
And that's the Star Hill section. But nobody used that term in my working days in that area.
They didn't?
I don't know where the term came from. It's mm-hmm. just been used in recent years. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, Cox's Road was where West Haven is now.
I see.
That was Cox's Road. It was called Cox's Road, as I understood it, because there were a number of two or three room houses. Uh-huh. There were none of them painted. And it was just all black.
Oh.
And it was they paid rents to live there, and very little improvements were done there. Mm-hmm. And they were torn out.
Right.
And when they were torn out, Hardy Drive and West Haven.
Okay.
And of course, Hardy Drive, that's the name of the street through there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was named for a minister who used to be Reverend Hardy at Mount Zion Baptist Church on Ridge Street.
Mm-hmm.
He and his family lived on Dice Street. And then, of course, West Haven is named for Mr. Harry West, who was a pretty well-to-do black man who lived on Main Street in the area where Russell Mooney used to be, right in that area. That was a big house that he lived on Main Street, and he was ran a barbershop for whites,
mm-hmm.
and accumulated quite a lot of wealth.
Oh,
and so when they were naming Hardy Drive, they just named the whole area West Haven in honor of this Mr. West.
Okay. We heard something else about there was a so-called mayor of Vinegar Hill. Anybody could get role? I don't know what it meant. We just the mayor of Vinegar Hill. I think it was a person who was a person who had a lot of wealth. And
did you ever hear his name?
No, we never heard his name. They just called him the mayor. You know, like you see him come down the street or something, that was the mayor.
Well, the wealthiest person I know of that lived and worked on Vinegar Hill was a man whose name was Carroll Thompson. I'm not saying that he's the one they called the mayor,
mm-hmm.
but he ran a pool room, a barber shop, and a restaurant
mm-hmm.
right at the peak of Vinegar Hill. And he and his wife had a very fine apartment upstairs over the pool room. And they were well to do people and were good livers. And he was very highly respected on Vinegar Hill.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure if that's the one they call the mayor.
Well, that's just kind of like a myth or something like that. Do you know how Vinegar Hill got its name? What their name originated from?
Well, there are several myths about it,
uh-huh.
and I don't know if anybody knows for sure, but two things that I recall people saying in years gone by. One was that before the turn of the century, when Vinegar Hill was more or less a dirt street, it had a trolley line, and then it had mules pulled the trolley up and down the hill,
uh-huh.
because it didn't have power to carry itself.
Right.
And somebody said that somebody was hauling a load of vinegar, and it spilled and broke.
Yeah.
And the holder stayed there a long time,
right,
so that's
right.
why it got to be called Vinegar Hill. That's one theory.
Right.
And another theory is that there was sort of a winery on Vinegar Hill at one time, and the winery was one of those kind that used a lot of apples mm-hmm. making wine.
Right, right.
And it smelled like vinegar. You know what cider smells like
mm-hmm,
when it gets
sure,
old.
Right, sure, right.
And so that was another theory.
Oh, I see.
But most of that dates back to around the turn of the century.
I heard the first story, I heard it from another lady I interviewed earlier.
Yeah.
And she said something about somebody was hauling some vinegar in a lot of bus and rode back down. And the smell stayed there for quite some time. Were there a lot of black businesses and black people who owned business? I know it was a barbershop and a store.
Well, certainly more than there are now. Black business is very scarce in this area at present time. I know of and heard my parents speak of places in Charlottesville. Many jobs that are done by white people now were done by black people, yes. So for instance, practically all the barbershops were run by black people, operated for white people.
Oh,
of course, they didn't do black people's hair, though.
Oh.
So
the blacks didn't patronize with it?
They weren't permitted to patronize because it was segregation. That was one of the things. And one of the leading grocery stores operated by blacks in that time was the Hinger store on the corner of Main and 4th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this Allen store was down on 6th Street Southeast. Allen now, part of the family runs a store on Rosehill Drive. Allen's store, just as you turn off of Preston Avenue on the right side, going down towards the health department.
This is
Allen's store.
Allen's store?
Yeah, so it's a nice little
store. Is it near 7-Eleven?
Not that far.
It's
just as you turn off of Preston.
Right, turn off Preston.
Going north.
Uh-huh.
And it's in its first block after you turn off, after you pass that Tucker Tire Company.
Oh, okay, I know
what you're talking about. That family, that store down 6th Street Southeast, and he was down there, his family was down there, and he moved out over the last 10 years when they started turning up Jared Street.
Oh.
And that was another black neighborhood, 6th Street Southeast. 6th Street, not talking about that, you're talking about Vinegar Hill.
Yeah, okay. They said the Vinegar Hill was divided into two sections. One side was supposed to be the side that was a little better in upkeep, and the other side was called the squalor side. Well, and it was supposed to be divided by a path, a lady was telling us, and like it was, this side over here was kind of broken down, and people didn't keep up the house, and another side was where people generally kept the houses up. You know anything about that?
Well, I can't speak to that. That's before my time, but I tell what I've heard about it. And when I was principal at school, and when I was a student going to that school, when I was a student there in the 30s, I lived on Ridge Street, the Hudson Mill Road. And there was a Vinegar Hill area had, as I recall, three or four main streets through it. There was Commerce Street,
right.
I guess you heard that name.
Yeah.
William Street, Page Street, and 3rd Street, and Irving Street, those four were the main ones. And some of those streets had some of the homes of the sort of better class of Charlottesville black people at that time. And they were well kept homes, and they were people who had good jobs, and some of them were hairdressers, and some of them were barbers who lived downtown. And then there was a church, two churches in the Vinegar Hill section. One of them is still in existence, but it's the Zion Union here on Preston Avenue. It moved from Vinegar Hill and built a new church. And the other one was Shiloh Baptist Church. And that was a very nice church. So that was on Commerce Street as you're going down from where you can't go now, but where King is now across that section. And there were some very nice homes there. And then, of course, there were some that were in need of repair.
Yeah.
But in spite of all that, the people who lived down there, the sort of well-to-do and the ones who did not have much income and sort of lived from hand to mouth, had a good relationship as far as the school went. Because all of those children came to Jefferson School. And as far as conflicts go between the children from that area coming into Jefferson School,
I have no problems with that at all. It's principle. And the teachers would say the same thing. As a matter of fact, I could name you teachers who have worked in the Charlottesville school system, who were born and bred down there and grew up and worked in Charlottesville and Albemarle County. And because they were kinds of families who were strugglers.
Yeah.
And they worked and got the kids in college, mm-hmm. and they came back to try to help those who needed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Billy Hill wasn't all bad.
Okay. Do you know how long it had been in existence, or was it, you know, was it here when you got here?
Was it what?
Was it here? I mean, was you here when they built it up in Denver Hill neighborhood?
When they
started? I mean, when they first started, they said, we're going to build this place.
Oh, when they started?
Existed. The first?
In the very beginning?
Yeah,
very beginning. No. See, I told you I was in school and finished high school in the middle 30s. And Denver Hill was probably something that happened. Got started really? In the 80s, back right after the Civil War. As a matter of fact,
that's what I hear
right after the Civil War.
Right, yeah. So it was Civil War.
This is Mr. Freeman.
How are you?
All right.
How are you?
Nice to see you today.
Okay.
You ever seen her before?
Don't think I have.
You've never seen her either. Isn't that something?
Oh, my goodness. We've been here all our lives.
Both of us are native. She's just retired, too. She retired from Charlottesville High.
Oh, yeah? See, I have never, you know, been to any of the city schools at all.
Okay. See what you missed? Go by.
I was basically a county man. So. Uh-huh. Okay. See, you said that the church that was there, it just got torn down and didn't rebuild?
Yeah, but that was
Commerce Street.
Yeah. That was called Shiloh Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beginning to decline in the early, I'd say in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Zion Union, who had a very strong minister, Reverend Kennedy, and you probably heard that name. And he has children living in Charlottesville now,
mm-hmm.
Mrs. Ethel Kennedy and Ike Kennedy, and this is the lady who used to run a little kindergarten here on Anderson Street. Reverend Kennedy lived in the county, in your neighborhood.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that was in
Okay, did you hear anybody mention the fact that they were not fairly compensated for the homes that they had to move out?
Yes, but you know, most people who have to move for housing projects feel that they're not properly compensated. Yeah. They feel that, and because you see, most people put a subjective value on property rather than an objective value. Like, for instance, what I would want for this house would probably not be what I'd get on the open market for it.
Right.
But that's the way people live. Or they live. If they think of what something means to, it's a difference between what you want for something, what you can sell it for, and what you think it's worth.
Sure.
And so a lot of them did think that they didn't get a fair value for it.
So do you know what they did get on most of the houses there?
What?
Do you know what they did get?
For prices.
The prices?
I don't know prices because it's been so long ago, I really don't know.
Right.
But I'll tell you where you can find the prices. There's a man, Mr. Arrington.
Mm-hmm. I've heard
his name. Gene Arrington, he's the head of the redevelopment of housing. He was in charge of it. And he should have figures on what everybody was paid. However, everybody who lived down there didn't own their homes.
Right.
A lot of people down there, especially the run-down ones, had white landlords. And they just didn't fill them up or build them up. And then a number of them, some of them had black landlords. For instance, have you heard of Mr. William Jackson? He's deceased now. He's, you know, Edward Jackson, who puts up signs around the county. Lives on, used to live on 6th Street there, northwest near the Bell Center home.
Edward Jackson,
and he has a sister named Mrs. Walker and Cox Jackson. Well, their father and mother had a lot of houses down in there too. So they could give you some insight on what they were sold for.
Okay.
Your grandmother owned the houses down there.
Your grandmother who died?
My grandmother did own them.
Owned them.
Okay. She's the lady who first gave Jefferson High School its first football uniforms back when we first got a football team at Jefferson High School. You played a lot of football at Alabama.
Yeah.
Did you play along with Bates? Or?
No, they were like 2 or 3 years before I got there.
Okay.
Because I know who you're talking about. I know all of them, you know, all the Bates boys and everybody.
Have you joined with the time, did you?
Not yet. I'm supposed to join this spring.
Well, what are you going to join?
I'm Native South Five. I think the most popular one on the campus is the Kappas.
Kappas?
Mm-hmm. But, I think I'm a little familiar. I like some keys.
I tell you, one of y'all can give a little consideration to the Alphas.
Alphas, yeah.
See, as a matter of fact, I helped set up the Alpha chapter with the university.
At the university? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell some of you guys tonight. Y'all would be grateful.
That's a nice return to nationwide. No, in fact, we have a graduate chapter here.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't meet Sunday. Probably my husband is at UMKM.
Yeah. That's great.
Think about that.
Okay, I still have made my mind, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Talk to some of the fellows that are out for that.
Okay. Do you know anything about the Elks?
Elks?
Mm-hmm.
I know their organization, I'm not a member.
Okay, well, I was talking to one lady and she said that Elks raised her. I mean, they helped her through school and it was like an organization that
benefited. What you said?
She said that they raised her practically and sent her through school, through college.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Sadie Mason.
Oh yes, I know. Well, she used to teach in Jefferson School.
Right.
And also, she just retired from Greenbrier School.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, she said the Elks helped her a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to find out a little bit more about them.
About the Elks?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, did you talk with her mother?
I didn't talk to her mother.
Her mother is an Elk, and they live down there. They would be good people to talk to.
Yeah, I'm supposed to go back over there.
Well, oh, good. And you talk with her mother. Her mother's name is Mrs. Eliza Crook. She lives in the same hospital state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I spoke to her mother, you know, briefly,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't really question her about that.
Yeah, well, she's been very high in the Elks. I'm not gonna lie. Is your father an Elk?
I don't know if he's an Elk, but I know he's a member of the...
Arthur?
Mason.
Mason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know he's a... He's a member of that. He goes to their convention and everything they have every year. But I'm not sure if he connected with the Elks. I've asked you what things I want to know, I guess. Did you know of any other community organizations that benefited the black community?
That did what?
Benefited the black community. Like, let's say, church organizations that...
Well, they have there's an organization called the Crusade for Voters.
Okay.
And that's an organization of black people who try to promote voting in the community. And then there is an organization called the Interfraternal Council who works to do things for black young people who refuse scholarships. Okay. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, the Interfraternal Council, and then, as I said, the Alpha Fraternity, and the Kappas, and the Omegas, and then the Sororities, and the AKAs, and the Deltas.
Mm-hmm.
All of those organizations have regular meetings in Charlottesville,
mm-hmm.
and they are very helpful, and to do things for young black people.
Right.
Okay. Have you interviewed any other people who worked or lived in the Vanderbilt section except Mrs. Sadie?
Mrs. Grace Gibbons.
Hmm?
Grace Gibbons?
Oh, yes. She lives in Harley Drive, isn't she?
No, she lives over on Concord Avenue.
Okay, I see.
She owns an
I gave Mrs. Eggleton a list of people.
Oh yeah, we got a big list.
Yeah, well that
means names and stuff. That's it. We just divide them up and just go on out and see what we can find out. It's got we got a lot of people on there. I went to see Mrs. Gibbs. I had to go back over there and do a follow up on the front.
Now these people here, all these people, see that's my name, son.
Mm-hmm.
these people live down there and we get
black people and they live in Venezuela. Would you consider them a really close knit group?
I would.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I said to you a minute ago that even though there were different economic levels of black people who lived in the Venezuela area and some had better homes than others, but they were all very closely knit and they were people who were helpful to each other in times of stress and times of death. And they were people who would come together and work with people all over town.
Right.
I know I really got, as I told you, on the Ridge Street area, and my parents had lots of friends in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And I have friends in there.
Okay, well that's good, that's really good.
You see, segregated days were not all bad days.
Mm-hmm. But see, some people try to paint a picture that, you know, if everything was bad,
okay.
Fighting and
trying to live through both types of it. Now, in this neighborhood, I'm the only black family, but that's fine, but it's, the neighbors are not the same as neighbors say on, when I lived on Ridge Street, because many of them are house to house association. I don't know anybody here. We get to the other way once in how hard all the children come in for Halloween trick or treat and that kind of thing. But it's a difference.
Right.
And it just like
to say, I'm very close to this.
Well, that's getting on the tape. We're still going to be off the tape.
Okay, let's see. We have
one more question.
One more question, yeah. Considering all that you know now, do you think the Vinegar Hill Project was a good thing or a bad thing to do?
I think it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Although some people may not have liked it at the time, I think it was good because most people I say now who moved out of Vinegar Hill, as far as I can see, have better economic conditions than they had in the Vinegar Hill.
Yeah.
And they probably love what they had in Vinegar Hill. They like the idea of two rooms and maybe a wood stove in the kitchen, that sort of thing. But now they have been able to move out and share some of the things that other people in this world are sharing.
Right.
Rather than having to live just like people live in slavery time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I feel about.
Right.
So I said yes, but we go removal was good.
So if they had a vote, let's say if they had a vote for one side wanted to see them come in and just remodel the place or on another side they just want to destroy it altogether.
Well, I'll tell you, the houses down there weren't the kind that you could remodel. I guess in the whole section there wasn't, well first of all, let me say this, they weren't using cinder blocks part at all before World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And the houses were whole wood houses that had rotted out.
Mm-hmm.
And rotted the foundation, none of them had basements, firm foundations, so that sort of thing. Most of them didn't. So therefore, there weren't things that you would want to remodel.
Oh,
so it's best that they got torn out and then start all over again. I think the people now who live in West Haven live much better than they did when they were down there.
And then
there, even though some of them may not tell you that,
yeah.
but they live in better conditions.
Okay. Well, that's about it, man.